I think there's many good ways to answer it, and I think there's also many ways that we've sort of answered it through other questions this term. But again, as I thought more and more about it, I thought that what I really wanted to talk about and what I really wanted to share was this idea of trust. Because I'm convinced that believing in Jesus is not a matter of evidence, it's a matter of trust. And so I just want to make two points today that I'm going to focus on. The first point is that we all have to put our trust in something. Every human being on planet Earth trusts something. And the second point I want to make is that in a world where everybody has to trust something, Jesus is the most worthy of that choice. Jesus is the best person or thing that you can trust. I think this sermon is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be thinking about some complex things, as you can see, but there's going to be standing on chairs, there's going to be wearing glasses. I think it'll be really fun. We're going to have the kids come up and do an act for us as well. So let me pray, and we'll get straight into it. Father, we just thank you again for your word. Lord, we know that you call us to trust you, and we pray that you would help us to consider why we should trust you today. Amen. Well, we've all had conversations with someone who is not a Christian where they've said, look, I would be a Christian if there was just better evidence. They say that all it would take for them to become a Christian is to just see some evidence. And yet we've all also had conversations with those people where we've shared lots and lots of evidence. And there is lots and lots of evidence. We've shared the historical evidence. We've shared the scientific evidence, the philosophical evidence. And at the end of those conversations, usually those people still say, nah, it's not for me. No, I still don't believe it. So what's really going on in these situations? It's about evidence, and then it's not. See, here is what is really going on. What's really going on is that everybody has already put their trust in something. And if they're not willing to trust Jesus instead of whatever they're currently trusting, then nothing you say will convince them to change their mind. The problem is that they don't want to trust. The problem is not that they don't want to trust in something. The problem is that they're already trusting in something else, and they don't want to trust in Jesus. And Jesus says this in Matthew 7. He explains to us, as we read, that every human being has a foundation that they base how they think and live on. And Jesus says, if you make that foundation the rock, if you make that foundation the words of Jesus, then you are a wise man. But if you build it on the sand, then you are a foolish man. But notice how both people have to build a house. Everybody has to build a house on something. We all have foundational beliefs that dictate everything we do. And now for Christians, those truths that we stand on are things like God created the world. There are right things and wrong things to do. Everything happens for a reason. Jesus died for us and rose from the dead. But for people who aren't Christian, those things are different. They might be things like there is no God. Right and wrong are just a matter of opinion. Things just happen, or that there's no such thing as miracles. Everybody's trusting something. Everybody's believing in something, whether it's the rock or the sand. And now, if this is all a bit confusing so far, that's perfectly okay, because I've got three illustrations that I'm going to use throughout this whole talk to help us. And they are the chair, the dead man, and the glasses. So we're going to hear about all of these. It's kind of like my version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So the chair. I'm going to stand on this chair. I actually have a really bad track record with like standing on things. At Anchor on Friday, I sat on a table and it tried to eat me. It like closed up on me. But that's all right. I'm going to stand on this chair because I trust this chair. And now, if you are able-bodied and if you want to, I invite all of you guys to stand on your chair as well. Might be the only chance you get to stand on a chair in church. So go ahead and do it. Phil, amazing. All right. So, now, you're standing on the chair, and I want you to imagine that this chair is your beliefs, right? What you are standing on is your beliefs. It's your foundation. So for us as Christians in the room, we are standing on the words of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus are the things that we have staked our life on. We build our whole lives around this chair, around what we believe. Now, not everyone stands on this chair. Not everyone stands on the words of Jesus, but everybody, metaphorically, not literally at the moment, everybody is metaphorically standing on a chair. Everybody has a chair. Everybody has things that they believe in. Right? We believe there is a God who loves us, who has a plan for us, who has died for us. Not everyone believes that, but everyone believes something. And they trust those somethings, just like we trust what we believe. So I'm going to get down now. I think everyone else can get down as well. Thank you. Everybody is standing on a chair, whether they're an atheist or a Buddhist or someone who says, I don't know anything. If they say they don't know anything, they're standing on a chair called, I don't know anything. Everyone is standing on a chair. And so we're all trusting something. And I'm going to keep exploring that point. I'm going to have Chris, Harry, and Ben come up, and they're going to give a play for us, which is going to tell us about this dead man that I spoke about. And then I'll be back up.
There once was a man who was convinced he was dead. But in reality, he was very much alive. The man was so convinced it was even affecting his quality of life. His best friend tried everything he could to convince the man that he wasn't dead. He was alive.
You're not dead, you're alive.
But nothing worked. The man was convinced he was dead.
I'm dead.
But the man's friend had one more idea.
I've an idea.
The man's friend decided to do everything he could to convince his friend that dead men don't bleed. He showed him book after book. He even brought in doctors and other specialists, and they all agreed that dead men don't bleed. Eventually, the man admitted.
Dead men don't bleed.
Satisfied, the man's friend went to the next step of his master plan. He took out a pin and pricked the man's finger, and the man began to bleed. The man's friend said,
"Look, what's that for?"
Dead men do bleed.
He got it. That's all right. Okay, thanks guys. Chris is really good with the one-liners. Okay, do you see what happened in that story? Right? There was this man who was so convinced that he was dead, that even in the face of extraordinary evidence, he would find a way to keep believing he was dead. Right? You think that, oh my gosh, he's bleeding. He must, for sure, he must know now that he is alive. But instead, he would sooner believe that everyone else is wrong and that dead men do bleed. And I think this is exactly what happens when people see the evidence for Jesus and still reject him. And so I'm going to switch analogies like this. And say that it's like glasses. So we've also got some people in the audience wearing glasses. I've got a slightly fancier pair. They're 3D glasses, and I'm going to use these to explain what is happening. My last way to explain what is happening. You see, as we go about living our lives, you can put them on now if you've been given them. As we go about living our lives, we are all wearing glasses. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to put mine on because I've already got this thing over my ears. But we are all wearing glasses, and if you have the glasses, this will be easy for you. If you don't, you can look at someone who does. You can see that when someone wears these glasses, it affects the way they see the entire world, right? Everything I look at now, Lauren's taking a photo of me, that's okay. Everything I look at right now has this blue-red tinge to it. Everything, right? Nothing is unaffected by the glasses that I'm wearing. And our beliefs, what we believe in, are like glasses. They affect everything we see, and we all have them. That's why beliefs are sometimes called worldviews, because they're how we view the world. And so to go back to this example of the man who thought he was dead, he is wearing glasses that tell him that he is dead. And for as long as he wears those glasses, and for as long as he trusts those glasses, then any information he sees, any evidence he sees, he will find a way to make it still explain that he is dead. He will see that he's bleeding, and because of his glasses, he'll say everyone else is wrong sooner than he will say that he was wrong. And I think that people do this when it comes to Christianity every day. To go back to those examples of conversations we've had where people have looked at the evidence and still rejected Jesus, where people have said, you know, I would believe that Jesus rose from the dead if you just showed me some evidence, but it's not possible, so you're not going to show me any evidence. Right? They don't believe it's possible. They believe it's impossible for miracles to happen. It's impossible for people to rise from the dead. And so for as long as they believe that, as long as that is their glasses, then they could see a miracle happen right in front of them, and they would still find a way to reject it. Right? So what it's really all about is, are you willing to change your glasses? Are you willing to stand on a different chair? Or do you trust the ones you've got? This is how we should speak to people who aren't Christian. Do you trust what you believe so much that you won't consider something else? If somebody believes miracles aren't possible, they're never gonna see one, even if it happens right in front of them. The only way they could be convinced is if they were willing to trust different glasses, to believe that miracles can happen. And so we see that everybody is trusting something. Everybody is trusting the glasses they've got. Everybody's got glasses. Whether they admit it or not, they're standing on a chair and they're wearing glasses. Jesus tells us that you can build your rock, you build your house on the rock or on the sand, but you need to build a house. Everyone builds a house on something. And so as we get to our question now of why Jesus, the question becomes, why should Jesus be the one that you trust? Why should Jesus be the chair that you stand on? Why should Jesus be the glasses that you will wear for your life? There's no proof that can't be ignored. There's evidence that we find compelling. I'm sure that as we became Christians, we've probably all looked at bits of evidence that convinced us. But there's no absolute proof. None of us have a time machine that can take us back 2,000 years to see Jesus for ourselves. And none of us have this silver bullet that we can say to people who aren't Christian that will absolutely compel them to become a Christian. There's no evidence that we can provide. So why should people choose to stand on the words of Jesus? Why should people choose to look through his glasses rather than anything else? Again, there's many reasons I could share. I'm just going to share two. The first one is that the words of Jesus provide the best foundation for our lives. And the second is that the words of Jesus offer the best view of ourselves. In the passage we read, Jesus, again, he explains that the one who lives according to the words of Jesus is like the one who built his house on the rock. And so when the wind and the rain came, the foundation of the house was secure, so it stood strong. But the person who ignores the words of Jesus is like someone who has built their house on the sand. And when the wind and the rain come, the house falls apart with a great crash. Now, I think one of the ways that we can understand what Jesus is saying here is that in the winds and the rain that life will throw at us, the tough situations, the moral dilemmas, the hard times, only the words of Jesus provide a firm foundation for us to live through. There is no firmer foundation than the belief that there is a good God who loves you, who cares for you, who has a plan for you, and who has told you right from wrong. There is no more secure foundation than that for us to live our lives. And for me, this is so true that I think that if you look hard enough, you will see that even people who don't stand on the rock are in fact leaning on it. Even people who don't live their lives according to Jesus' words are relying on it. I think you'll see that if you look hard enough. I just want to give one example of that. If someone is not a Christian, or if someone is not at least religious or spiritual, then they cannot say that there is a plan. they cannot say that there is some way that things are going to get better. Because everything just happens by chance. Right? There's that famous catchphrase, stuff happens, except it's another word that starts with S. Right? And it's very popular, but it doesn't actually provide any hope, does it? And now normally that's not a problem. Normally people are quite happy to say stuff just happens. But every now and then you'll catch someone when they're really struggling. Right? Not just when they miss their train and they're late to work, but when they are really struggling in life. You'll see that most people are leaning on the rock. Most people are leaning on the words of Jesus. Because when they're really going through a tough time, they will tell themselves that there is a plan. They will tell themselves that things are going to get better. They will tell themselves that good things are going to come that way, come their way. And in the darkest times of even people who aren't Christian, you'll usually find them praying too. And so you can see that people in their toughest time, when things are all good, they might say they've got their house in the sand and they don't mind. But in their darkest time, even if they're not standing on the rock, you'll see them leaning on it. You'll see them relying on God's word just like everyone else. The best an atheist can offer without stealing from God is just, life sucks, get on with it. It's not very comforting. There's a saying, when life is hard, nobody wants to hear from the atheist. And I think that's very true. Only the words of Jesus provide a strong foundation for us to live our lives. Now, the second reason to choose Jesus is because the words of Jesus offer the best view of ourselves. And so I want you to imagine that you've got your glasses and you're staring through your glasses at a mirror back at yourself. You see, I think there's, broadly speaking, there's two things that the Bible says about us as people. And I want us to think of them as like the two lenses of these glasses, the red and the blue. See, on the one hand, Jesus says, and the rest of the Bible say, that we are more sinful and more broken than we've ever imagined. We are utterly sinful and utterly broken people. And that's one lens. That's one part of how the Bible and Jesus says we should look at ourselves. But the other part, the other half of the Bible, the other lens it tells us to look through at the same time, is that we are also more loved and more accepted in Jesus through what he has done than we would ever dare believe. We are more loved and accepted in Jesus than we could ever hope for. Now, here is where most people go wrong. They only look through one of these lenses. Most people, many who call themselves Christian, are only looking with one eye open. They're only seeing through one lens. And for both of these people, it goes horribly wrong. There are people who know that they are broken. They see with that eye so clearly. They look in the mirror and they hate themselves and they are miserable because they know so truly that they are broken, that they are terrible people. And I have to say that growing up, I've met so many of these people and it breaks my heart. They believe in God, but they don't believe that God loves them. They don't believe God forgives them because all they can see is how sinful and broken they are. They're only seeing with one eye open. And they're miserable. Now, other people will do the opposite. Other people will say they believe in God and they believe that God loves them and accepts them, but they have no concept of their sin or of their brokenness at all. And these people are some of the smuggest and the fakest people you'll ever meet, and you'll meet a lot of them too. These are the people who completely ignore all of Jesus' words, except the ones that say, God loves you. And they do whatever they want. Everyone else can see that they're broken. Everyone else can see that they gossip and lie and cheat and steal, just like everyone else. But they just keep saying, God loves me exactly as I am. Now, the thing is, people who aren't Christian look at both of those groups of people and say, I don't want to be that. They don't want to be smug, fake people who say they have faith in something but don't do any of what it says. And they don't want to be miserable people who just hate themselves and who can't do any of the fun things that they want to. And I don't blame them for not wanting to be those things. But neither of those groups have the full picture of being a Christian. Because being a Christian is having both eyes open. Being a Christian is knowing that, yes, we are broken. Yes, we are flawed, but also that we are loved. Also that we are so loved and so totally forgiven in Jesus because of what he has done for us. And it's only if you can believe both of those things, if you can believe both of those things, then I promise you that the greatest happiness that any human could ever know is yours. If you can look with both eyes open, there is nothing better than knowing that we are truly loved, even though we are broken. And so there is nothing better than the glasses that Jesus offers. There is nothing better than the foundation that he sets for us. I want to close with one more illustration to talk about trust again. I want you to imagine that you are a young child. And for some of the people in the audience, that won't require much imagination at all. For others, it'll require a lot. I want you to imagine that you're a young child and that you are stuck in a tree. You're stuck in a tall tree and you can't get down. And you are afraid and you are scared. But Jesus is standing at the bottom of the tree. And he calls out to you and he says, "If you jump, I will catch you." Now I want you to recognize that both in this illustration and in life, there is nothing Jesus can do to prove to you that he will catch you until you jump. If you are not willing to jump, he cannot show you that he will catch you. But he promises to you, "If you jump, I will catch you." No matter how much you look down and you see, wow, Jesus, he's got pretty big muscles, you still can't know that he will catch you. No matter how many other people are stuck in the tree with you and you see them jump down before you and you see Jesus catch them every time, you still cannot know unless you are willing to trust Jesus. There's no way around the trust. And so to close, all I want to say is, as a preacher, as a Christian before you, is exactly what Jesus is saying. If you jump, he will catch you. If you trust him, he will show you a greater life than you could know any other way. But if you don't jump, if you don't trust, you will never know and you will never see. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you again for your word. Thank you again for the kids as they have served us. We pray for all of us that we would trust you, that we would see that you offer us a greater life than anything else does, and that everything calls for our trust. Atheism calls for our trust. Even saying we don't know anything calls us to trust that there's not anything worth knowing. Father, so we pray that we would trust you. We pray to thank you for everything Jesus does for us and the life that he offers. Amen. All right, the band's going to come up now.